ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 77 of the report. Yeah, man, it's been a while. It's been a while since the last time I talked to y'all. It's been about 2 weeks, man. 2 weeks since the last time your man Span hit the mic. And there's good reason for that. There's good reason for that, man. It's been a very eventful couple of weeks for your man Span, man. I've celebrated my birthday. I've gone to my high school reunion. I had to go out of town. So I haven't been home. I haven't been home. I haven't been around the crib to record. And I missed y'all, man. I did. I really did miss y'all. So I'm happy to be back. And we're going to get into this, man. We're going to get right into the show, man. We're going to talk about today. Today, what we're going to talk about is the Supreme Court's decision to legalize same-sex marriage across the board, man, across the country, all laws that were preventing same-sex couples from being married have been rendered null and void. So we're definitely going to talk about that today on this episode of the Span Report Podcast. But before I get into all of that, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Of course, you can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play those messages on the show and, of course, respond to those messages in kind. You can also email me here at the Span Report at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Send me those emails. I will read those and, of course, reply to those emails on the show. You can also hit me up at the website. The website is thespanreport.com. All of your Span Report needs are available there. The videos, news stories, technology stories, there's a whole lot of stuff available at thespanreport.com. Not just the podcast. I'm trying to branch the show out. And of course, I really do want you guys to kind of go there to kind of get your news and everything else. And I am looking still for writers and contributors to thespanreport.com. But go to thespanreport.com right now for all of your Span Report needs as far as the podcast is concerned and the videos and the podcast and whatever else. So go to thespanreport.com, check that out, and let your voice be heard there. Okay, let your voice be heard there. Also, you can chop it up with your man Span on Twitter and Instagram. My name, of course, on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. We could chop it up on Twitter. And you can like my pictures on Instagram. Share them, motherfuckers. Steal them. You know how y'all do. Steal all those memes and everything else. Go ahead and share those and chop it up with your man on Twitter. I am Mr_Span on Twitter. And for all of the dumb shit that you want given attention, send those to me at asshat@thespanreport.com. That's asshat@thespanreport.com. I will do a segment about the dumbest shit that we've seen this week. asshat@thespanreport.com for your asshat of the week submissions. And of course, give your man a review. I love reviews, man. Let me know what it is you're thinking. Let me know what it is you think about the show. Let everybody else know what it is that you think about the show. Leave a review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. 5 stars preferably, but if not, you know, it is what it is. But the 5-star reviews will get read on the show, right? And of course, because the show is live on YouTube, if you leave a YouTube comment concerning anything that we talked about here on the show, I will read those YouTube comments as well, man. Yeah, it's been a while. I'm kind of rusty. I kind of stumbled through that whole shit, right? Yeah, man, but it's been an eventful couple weeks. But let me tell you guys about what I've been going through the last couple weeks, man. Just a little bit. I know the last time I talked to you guys, man, we were talking about Rachel Dolezal. That was real hot in the news. Everybody was still talking about that. And that's no longer a story now. Everybody's kind of like forgotten about Rachel Dolezal to a certain degree, and rightfully so. I mean, she wasn't really worth the amount of news that she got, but that was what was hot at the time. And what's really got everyone's attention right at this moment is the Supreme Court's decision to legalize same-sex marriage, right? But in the meantime, in between all of that stuff that was going on with that, I went to Chicago, man. I went to Chicago. Well, first of all, let me take that back. Let me roll this shit back a little bit. Your man Span had a birthday, right? I had my birthday. I'm 35 years old now, right? I feel a little old. And if you think about it, 35 is kind of middle age now. 35 years old is middle age now. And it's funny, man. I was asked, of course, how does it feel to be 35? And of course, I don't feel any differently than I did when I was 34, you know, honestly. But yeah, man, I have noticed with the added weight gain, since my metabolism isn't as great as it used to be, that my feet hurt a little bit more than they used to before, right? So I've been gaining weight. I got up to like 201. That was the heaviest I had been. And I've been trying to cut back on like my portions. No, I haven't. Let me stop lying. I still eat just as much, if not more, than I always have. But I've been trying to walk around a bit more at work. You know, I do a lot of walking around and running up and down stairs and in the back of trucks, all sorts of shit. Try to stay active while I'm at work to try to get my weight back down to my target weight of 180, right? Because my feet hurt. My feet hurt. And it's just one of those things, man. When you get older, you start getting these ailments and stuff like that. So yeah, man, I've been dealing with that. But as far as like being 35 is, I mean, you know, I think about my mortality a whole lot lately. You know, I think about that probably more than I probably should. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things, man. You start getting a little bit older, you start, you know, being a bit more conservative about some of the things that you do. And you, I need to get back into the gym and start like hooping again and all that other stuff. But right now, physically, I just need to go to the doctor and see what the fuck is going on with me. And really, I mean, my feet hurt all the time and I'm tired. I fall asleep at the drop of a hat. All sorts of shit is going on with your man Span at 35. So I need to go to the doctor and see what the hell is going on with that. But outside of that, man, I went home to Chicago during my birthday week, because my birthday fell on a Thursday. Went home to Chicago. There was a high school reunion that was going on. I went to Olive Harvey Middle College in Chicago. Shout out to Mrs. Hawkins, who was not only the founder of the school, but she was the principal of the school at the time that I was there. And that woman saved a lot of lives. And I wouldn't necessarily say she saved my life, but she definitely put my life on a different trajectory than it was at the time. I was coming off of the death of my mom. I really wasn't feeling school. I was going to be forced to like sit out a semester and maybe lose yet another year of schooling. And going to the Olive Harvey Middle College changed my life. It really did. It put me on a path to not only think that college was something that I was just supposed to do, but that was something that I could excel at. And it also put me in a position to meet some really interesting people. Like I met Coretta Scott King on a college tour going to Atlanta. And it was funny. I don't know if I told you guys about this. I may have mentioned it on the show, but when I met Coretta Scott King, it was at the Ebenezer Baptist Church doing the new Ebenezer Baptist Church doing their first service on Easter Sunday. And I had a booger in my nose, and Coretta Scott King didn't tell me that your man Span had a booger in his nose. He just kind of looked at me real strange, like, yeah, baby, how you doing? Uh-huh. Oh, so you come from Chicago, huh? Oh, that's real nice. So what school are you thinking about going to? Oh, I'm thinking about going to Morehouse. Oh, that's real good. Yeah. You have a nice day, baby. Get outside, and all my friends like, man, I hope you didn't have that booger in your nose when you was talking to Miss Coretta Scott King. Yep, that happened. That happened to your man, so yeah. But I really do want to thank Mrs. Hawkins for not only the opportunity that she afforded me at that school, but for all of the lives that she did change with the advent of that school. And it's still changing lives today. A couple of my friends who graduated from that school are now teaching at that school. So shout out to Mrs. Hawkins. Shout out to my girl Mishy. Shout out to everybody that's associated with Olive Harvey Middle College. I wouldn't be the man that I am today had it not been for that school, real talk. And your man Span was Mr. Middle College when he graduated. Because I had all that school spirit and shit, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, shout out to everybody from OHMC. But, again, that was one of the things that happened, right? So, with that, like last week, my girl's parents wanted to also throw me a barbecue to celebrate my birthday, which was really appreciated, man. And we had a really good time. My daughter got a chance to meet my fiance's parents. You know, it was a chance for everybody to kind of get it together and meet together and break bread and everything else. And it was cool, man. It was, and I'm really appreciative of the relationship that my daughter and my fiance have. I really am. I mean, this is, you know, that was one of the main concerns. That's always one of the concerns that you have as a father or even as a mom. You know, when you have your kids around someone new who isn't their mom or their dad or whatever, that's always a concern whether or not your child or your fiance will be accepting of either or. And so for my daughter and my fiance to now have a really good relationship at this particular point in time, I'm really excited about that. And I'm grateful for that relationship that they fostered with one another. So, yeah, man, it was a good time. It was a good time. And that explains partly why your man Span ain't been on the mic in the last 2 weeks, right? It's been a lot of shit going on, and I haven't been able to speak to it, but that explains why I haven't been on the mic the last 2 weeks. So what we are going to do, though, what we are going to do is we are going to talk about the Supreme Court's decision to rule that gay marriage is now legal across the country, right? And, of course, with these kind of decisions and everything else, a lot of folks have their there was a lot of, you know, accolades given. There was a lot of celebration going on. The White House showered the White House in the rainbow colors, which is cool. A lot of people have changed their Facebook avatars to the rainbow, which signifies solidarity with the LGBTQ community. That was cool. And then you have those who, for whatever, you know, well, we're not going to say for whatever reasons. We know some of these people and why their reasonings are against this, right? But you have those who are against this, and they feel as if they're being persecuted to a certain degree at this particular juncture. And for me, like, it was an unfortunate week. And I don't want to just personalize it, but it was a real unfortunate week to witness a lot of friendships ending over this decision. A lot of family relationships being fractured because of this decision. And it was happening daily. Like, I was seeing this across Facebook and across Twitter, where folks were falling out with their, like, with close relatives, and folks were falling out with people that they thought were their friends. And it was a celebratory time, but it was also kind of a melancholy time at the same time, right? So one of the things that I thought was very important, and I thought that a lot of folks really weren't getting, was that the Supreme Court's decision, at the end of the day, for those of us who aren't gay, doesn't really affect us much at all, right? It doesn't affect me much. Only I'm not being forced to marry anybody, male. Right? If you're female, you're not being forced to marry anybody that's female. Our life pretty much goes on the same exact way it always has been. No one's forcing us to do anything by acknowledging that gay people are now allowed some of the same rights that we as straight people already enjoy, right? So that was one of the big things that I thought was, like, you know, it was just unfortunate throughout that whole argument, throughout the whole debate, that so many people were falling out with folks who they thought they loved and respected. They were finding out that this was the last straw as far as a relationship is concerned with these people, right? And then you had those who used the religious freedom argument, right? A lot of folks were using their religion, and of course, a lot of what we know about opposition to homosexual marriage or homosexual relationships, period, is brought to us through religious means, right? So we talk, you know, you hear a lot of folks talk about it's unholy for same-sex marriage to be accepted and whatnot, right? You hear a lot of references to Sodom and Gomorrah. You hear a lot of references to these people can't procreate and everything else, right? And it's funny how in a country where we live, in a country that we live in where religious freedom was one of the, it was one of the cornerstones as to why this country was founded, but also religious, the freedom to be free from religion was also one of the cornerstones of that, right? So a lot of folks have this misconception about America that we are a Christian nation when in reality, a lot of the founding fathers of the American experiment, a lot of the founding fathers of the American experiment were not Christians at all. And they did not adhere to the biblical laws as they were written, right? This isn't a Christian nation. This is a law. This is a country that has Christians in it a lot, in a lot of them, right? So you got a lot of religious, arguments about whether or not this is a good thing for gay people to be able to marry and for gay people to have their marriages recognized by the state, right? But there's an important reason as to why we have religious freedom. And there's also an important reason why there's a separation between the church and the state. We have a separation because, for one, this isn't a theocracy. This is a democracy in practice, right? So if we were to actually just adhere to everything of the Christian religion or even the Islamic religion, and we were to use these laws to govern how those of us who aren't Christian or those of us who aren't Muslim, if we were to use these laws to govern the nation, then we would be contradictory to what the Constitution was designed to do, which was to allow people to have their own religious freedom and to allow people to live life as they so choose to, right? Now, it was interesting to see so many, like, I'm not friends with, well, let me put this in a different way, because I am friends with a lot of Muslim people, right? I live in Detroit and Dearborn Heights, where there's, and in Dearborn, we have the largest, Muslim population in the country. In this area of the United States, the largest collection of Muslims in the United States is in Dearborn, the Detroit area, right? So I know a lot of Muslim people. I am friends with a lot of Muslim people in this area. I'm cool with a lot of Muslim people. And the thing is, for a lot of Christian folks, if they were forced to live under Sharia law, they would have an issue with that, right? And rightfully so. If someone told you that you stealing anything would result in you losing a hand, you would have an issue with that. There's a lot of things about the Sharia law that Christian people have issues with, right? But there's a lot of things about Levitical law that everyone has an issue with, who, especially those of us or those people who aren't Muslim, who aren't Christian, or who doesn't adhere to any sort of religious doctrine at all, right? Why should I be subject to a religion that, or religious law that I don't even believe in or that I'm not a part of? Why should I be subject to that? And so it was interesting to see so many people upset that the state didn't uphold their religious views, right? Because at the end of the day, the United States government's job and how it's supposed to work is that every United States citizen, every American, is supposed to have equal protection under the law, right? So whether or not you're gay, straight, black, white, yellow, brown, red, you're supposed to have equal protections under the law. And so when the United States Supreme Court decided that homosexuals should have the opportunity to marry, to have equal protections under the law when it came to recognition of their marriages and everything that comes with marriage, I didn't have an issue with that. And so many other people didn't have any issues with that. But there were a lot of people from religious grounds who had so much to say and who were a bit perturbed by the fact that the United States government decided to grant equal protections under the law through this, especially with the Supreme Court decision to grant equal protections under the law to same-sex couples, right? So, in the midst of all of this going on with same-sex marriage and the discussions that folks were having about same-sex marriages, I mean, I had a discussion with a friend of mine. We go way back. He got real upset with me. You know what I mean? Like, my man got real upset. Like, he, you know, said, I think I know everything, and that was his opinion. You know what I mean? Like, he felt like he was being persecuted for having an opinion that wasn't popular. You know what I mean? They're like, he was just having that, he was going through that, you know, that sort of, he was having a moment. Let's put it like that. My man was having a moment. But also, I was having some discussions with some other folks who also took issue with the fact that, for me, I saw a lot of parallels between some of the issues that the LGBTQ community was having with the civil rights movement of the 1960s. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow, for the first time on the Span Report, one of my listeners to debate me about this topic. We're going to have a debate here on the Span Report podcast tonight. And my man Cam is an old friend of mine. We go way back. Like, we go back to elementary school, man. You know what I mean? Like, we've come from some of the same environments. We come from the same place. And my man Cam is going to come on, and we're going to discuss whether or not it is appropriate, for the comparison to LGBTQ and the 1960s, the 1960s civil rights movement, whether or not it's appropriate to even make that kind of comparison, right? Because I don't necessarily see an issue. I don't see an issue at all with making that comparison. But I'm going to bring my man Cam on in a second so that we can have this discussion. And you guys can make the decision. I'm going to put a poll up on thespanreport.com on this episode so you guys can vote as to whether or not it's appropriate. And I think I've done this before. I think I've even presented the same question before as to whether or not it's appropriate for the comparison to be made between the 1960s LGBTQ community and the, I'm sorry, I said the 1960s LGBTQ community. Well, whether or not it's appropriate for you to compare both of these movements at the same time. And so let me send Cam this link so that he can get on and we can have this discussion, man. And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk to you guys, one thing I really want to say to you guys, because, again, like I talked earlier about whether or not folks were losing friends, right? You'll find out whether or not people are really your friends if you can have a discussion with them and you don't necessarily agree with them on a particular issue, but you can walk away with an understanding and still at the end of that conversation, walk away knowing that, okay, I disagree with you, but we can still to some degree coexist. And there's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot to be said for that. Now, again, whether that's a line that you're willing to cross for a lot of folks is something all to, hold on a second. I don't think my aunt knew that I was on on the air tonight. Yeah, but there's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said. If you can coexist with folks and still disagree with people at the same time, like you can have your issues, you can have your pet issues, but at the same time, being able to have these discussions and have these discussions and still walk away from them feeling as if like you didn't lose any respect. I don't know. It's kind of hard to put it that way. But this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna bring my man Cam on. We're gonna talk about this issue, and so let's get him on in a second. Hold on, just a minute. Live podcasting, people, and we're back. Yeah, man. Technical difficulties like a motherfucker here at the Span Report. And again, for those of you who are watching live, I do apologize. For whatever reason, Google Hangouts was not allowing my man Cam to get on to be a part of this discussion. But we had to kick that old one out and start up a new one. But I do got my man Cam here to talk with us here about the LGBTQ community, the movement that is being sparked now, and the comparisons of the 1960s civil rights movement, and whether or not those comparisons are applicable. Cam, man, you know, we talked about this on Facebook. You know, I made some comparisons to the 1960s civil rights movement to the LGBTQ communities movement of today, and you took some exception to that. Could you explain why you felt the way that you did?
Well, first off, thank you for having me on the show.
Indeed, brother.
I really appreciate you giving me a chance to voice my opinion. The biggest concern I have with it is that it doesn't do justice to either to compare them. While I do agree that there are some similarities to the two movements, there are vast differences, huge differences, that to me take away from either movement by comparing them to each other.
Okay. And what are those differences though? Where exactly would you take exception?
Okay, well, it's not necessarily. It's just the fact that once again, that there are disparities in the actual movements themselves. The fundamental, I guess, breaking all the way down to just the basis of it. Mm-hmm. There's no true comparison between skin color and, honestly, behavior. I understand that gays and lesbians, identity rather than behavior. But I mean, the definition is romantic attraction behavior.
Okay, well, here's where we kind of diverge a bit, right? Excuse me. One of the things that I think is important for us to understand is that comparing the movements themselves doesn't necessarily elevate one over the other, nor does it denigrate one under the other either. When I make a comparison to the LGBTQ community's fight for acceptance now compared to the 1960 civil rights movement, it's basically a way of trying to garner some understanding for folks who are unfamiliar or just, you know, for lack of a better term, ignorant to the plight of their movement, right? So by making the comparison, it's almost like if I'm trying to get you to understand what it is these people are going through, I want to kind of give it to you in the sense of, well, this may be something that you understand. And if you have this understanding as to what this is, by making the comparison, you can kind of see where it is that they are with their particular struggle. And I think the mistake that a lot of times is made is that for whatever reason, we sometimes get into this emotional, clinging to whether or not we struggled more than anyone else, right? And although there has been a tremendous struggle for Black people, that's not to say that there haven't been struggles elsewhere. And so I don't necessarily believe that we denigrate the 60s or that we elevate the LGBTQ community at this particular juncture. It's just a way of someone trying to give you an understanding as to, okay, if you can understand this, then maybe you can understand where these people are, what these people are dealing with at this particular point in time.
I semi agree with that.
Okay.
In 2008, The Advocate announced that gay is the new black.
Okay.
That was the cover.
Okay.
That was pretty much said that, you know, being gay was pretty much the exact same thing as being black.
Mm-hmm.
To me, which is unfair. Headlines like that garnish national news. You know, that was like a rally cry, you know, saying that being gay was new black. And then now to have people who may use it in the sense that you're using it, saying that, you know, if you can understand one, you may be able to understand the other, versus when you normally hear it, you hear it as this is the new version of the other.
Well, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I think it's whether it goes down to where your level of understanding is, right? So when you see a headline that says "Gay is the New Black," right, in The Advocate in 2008, right? When you see a headline like that, it's easy. It's like a knee jerk reaction would be like, "Wait a minute, what the fuck are they doing?" Right? But at the same time, if you step back and you take a look at what it is that these folks are dealing with, then you can kind of understand, like, okay, they're kind of sort of dealing with some of the same issues that the 1960s civil rights movement were dealing with then. Some of those same issues are being brought forth now, right? So take, for instance, in the 1960s, it was acceptable in certain areas of the country for a lunch counter to deny service to Black folks. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, we just had a few stories over the last couple months where we had a pizzeria in Indiana. We had a mechanic in Western Michigan. I forget exactly what the town was in Western Michigan, but we had a mechanic speaking about their religious freedom and how they would deny service to gay folks because of the fact that they were gay, right? Like, I have the right to refuse you because of my religious beliefs, right? So when you look at a lunch counter that says, well, I don't have to serve you because you Black, and then you juxtapose that with a pizzeria in Indiana that says, I don't have to serve you because you're gay, and you and also a mechanic who says, I don't have to serve you because you're gay. Those are a couple of things where it's like, okay, if you don't see the similarities between the two, I'm wondering where your head is at sometimes, right? Because that's one of those issues where it's like, okay, it's a direct correlation. It's a direct correlation when I don't have to give you service because of my religious beliefs. Well, they couch it in religious beliefs when really it's just discrimination on the basis of this person's sexual orientation, whereas before it was the basis of your skin tone.
Okay. Well, the biggest difference with that is this. In 1960, if service because you were Black, you just didn't get service.
Okay. Hey, brother, you were breaking up. I couldn't hear anything you just said. Could you repeat that?
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, Cam. We didn't hear anything you just said. Could you repeat that?
Sure. Difference between those examples that you brought up is pretty sad. In 1960. Were denied the use of lavatory water fountain, a restaurant, because of your skin color.
Mm-hmm.
You were just—it's not that you couldn't call the police and say, "Hey, they're denying me my civil rights."
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't sue them.
Mm-hmm.
They were protected. Versus now. There was a case where a priest didn't want to, no, it was actually a bakery that didn't want to make a cake for a gay couple.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up suing the bakery, and they were forced to either make a cake for them or shut the business down because of the church and state. And since this it was a business, you couldn't mix church and state. And there's huge differences in those things. You know, like, they're people. I don't want to keep using they, but people are protected more than what they were in 1960. In which case, people see this, and they see that they're able to sue. And even the fact that it took, 42 years for them to be the law of the land, and being Black still isn't the law of the land after hundreds of years.
Well, I got a question for you as far as that that bakery is concerned? Was there a contract signed that stipulated whether or not they perform a certain service for these people?
That I'm not sure of. The story itself pretty much stated that he was going to make the cake for him. You know, it wasn't going to be a problem making the cake at all until he, you know, I got to the point where I think they put two men on the cake. And at that particular time, he said, well, unfortunately, I can't make this cake for you.
Okay.
And I don't know what.
Now, again, like the reason that I asked that question is because if he was under a contractual obligation to do what these folks had already paid for, then they had every right to sue. The same as you would have the right to sue if there were services that you had paid for that all of a sudden the vendor decided that they arbitrarily didn't want to fulfill that order because some for whatever reason, whether that be religious, whether that be philosophical or whatever, for whatever reason, they decided they didn't want to do this for you despite what your contract says, right? So there's a bit of that gray area there where, like, a lot of times we start talking about whether or not our religious convictions, and I think a lot of times folks are starting to hide behind their religious convictions when it comes to whether or not they service gay and lesbian couples, when it comes to, like, you know, like we talked about the mechanic's office and the bakery and the pizzeria, we start hiding behind our religious beliefs as to why we can't do X, Y, and Z. But you have to wonder whether or not these same sort of businesses who are hiding behind these religious beliefs are also using their religious beliefs to say, you know, to figure out whether or not we're going to serve as adulterers, whether or not we're going to serve as murderers, whether or not we're going to serve as those who eat shrimp, because that's also against the law in the Bible as well, right? So, like, we start picking and choosing what we are what is acceptable and what isn't, depending on what our sensibilities are, and we'll use the Bible to justify that, right? Excuse me.
Well, I agree with that to a point. With that to a point also. I do believe that people do. They pick and choose what they want to follow as far as, you know, they use that to discriminate. They use the Bible to discriminate.
All the time.
Some people, not all people. But with that same token, most of the sins aren't celebrated. You know, we don't celebrate adulterers. There isn't an adulterer's pride parade. There isn't a killer's pride parade. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a gay parade, you know, sense of that, they're not equal, you know. Being gay is something that's being pushed to be accepted, in which case, I myself, I'm neither for nor against. You know, I believe people should be able to be happy. But when you compare it to sins, it's not necessarily the sin that's being discriminated against. It's the fact that every other sin isn't celebrated.
Okay.
If homosexuality was never celebrated, then I could understand the argument.
Here's the thing, though, and here's where I think a lot of discussion is to be had, and a lot of discussion will be made, is that when we start talking about sin, and we start talking about homosexuality, one thing that I think is big in this entire discussion is whether or not you believe homosexuality is a choice or whether or not homosexuality was something that you were born with, right? So if being a homosexual, and this is something that I believe that people don't necessarily, I don't believe people choose to be gay, right? I don't believe that's something that they have an active choice in. The only thing that I think they have an active choice in is who they choose to engage in sexual activities with. Who they're attracted to, I don't believe folks can help. Right. So say, for instance, I'm attracted to women. Right. I know this. There's nothing about a man that is sexually gratifying or even sexually appealing to me. But there are also certain women that aren't all that I don't find attractive, that I will also I couldn't find myself being attracted to or whatever else. Right. But I choose which women that I would engage in sexual relations with, right? I don't believe that homosexuals choose what they're attracted to. I do believe that they choose what person that they're going to engage in sexual activities with, right? So as far as sins are concerned, if I believe that a homosexual is born who they are, I can't discriminate against them, or I can't rationalize a way to make what they are doing as wrong if that is who they are. They didn't have any choice in the matter, the same way that I didn't choose to be male, the same way that I didn't choose to be black. I had no choice in the matter. Who I am is who I am. So when we talk about whether or not gays have a gay pride parade, or whether or not gays are being celebrated, we celebrate Black History Month. We had no choice in whether or not we were black or not, but we celebrate Black History Month, and we celebrate Kwanzaa. Well, some of us do. Not enough of us do, right? Some of us do. Not all of us do. But we have celebrations where we talk about who we are as a people, some of the accomplishments that we've done or we've had as a people. We celebrate those instances of where we were great, right? We hold each other, we hold ourselves up and say, hey, as a black person, we did this. A black person did this, and we are proud in the fact that it was a black person who did it. So when we have gay pride parades, which I don't think is, you know, there are gay pride parades all over the country, but when you have an instance where gay people are saying, hey, I was born this way, right? And I'm going to be proud in the fact that despite the fact that society has told us for so long that what we do is wrong, that who we are is wrong, and everything about us is negative and wrong, if I can flip that and be happy with who I am, then damn it, that's what I'm going to do. And I think for a lot of gay people, that's exactly what the gay pride parades represent. The same way that with black folks, we celebrate Black History Month and we celebrate Kwanzaa. It's like saying, hey, this is who I am. This is these are the accomplishments that our people have made. And we're going to celebrate this. We're going to put these folks up and we're going to be happy in it. And I think that's where a lot of times where we talk about gay pride, whether or not it's being celebrated and everything else, is I don't think it's any different than celebrating Black History Month. I don't think it's anything different than celebrating Kwanzaa. And at the same time, we also have to understand that even though that they are gay, sometimes there are black people that are gay also. So there's that intersectionality that happens where it's like, not only am I black, but I'm also gay as well. For a lot of folks, it's like they have that issue too. Just saying that because it's a black thing or a white thing or whatever, it doesn't stop there. There are black people who are gay. There are white people who are gay. There's a lot of intersectionality that happens that facilitates a level of understanding that I think that we all should try to understand, you know, that we should all participate in.
Okay. I guess my retort to that would be this. Up until 1973, being gay was considered to be a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
After 1973, it was changed. You know, it was just part of life, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But with that same token, there wasn't any evidence to change the actual first high gay was a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
There is no gay gene. You know, there's no way to prove if a person is born gay,
mm-hmm.
if they choose to be gay, or anything in between. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Gay. I don't know if they choose to be gay. All I can go off of is what they tell me.
Okay.
But with that being said, once again, there's honestly no way of knowing. I mean, that's the logical answer to give. I was born that way. That's the easiest way you say I'm born that way. Then that, I guess, as you said, it takes away from some of the pushback that you may get versus saying, well, you know what? I'm gay because That's just what I want to do for today. You know, I want to be gay this week. Mm-hmm. I want to be gay next week. I'll switch back later on when I grow up or you know, when I feel like it. That's the only answer that you can give where that wouldn't be any pushback. Versus being black, there's no way of hiding it. There's no way of changing it.
Okay.
On a genetic level, it is what it is. I mean, you're born black, you're gonna die black.
Okay.
You can be gay, and they're stated that they were born gay, and that they aren't gay anymore.
Okay.
Are they anomalies in the anomalies?
Well, I hate to answer a question with a question, but I do have this question for you. Are you familiar with Dr. Joy DeGroy?
No.
Okay. Dr. Joy DeGroy is she's the one who came up with the theory of the post-slavery. What is it? It's like post-traumatic stress, but it's like post-slavery stress syndrome or post-slavery syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I saw a video that she did, and she talked about how a lot of times when you talk about when you want to end discussions, when you want to trump what everyone else says, you talk about whether or not it's scientific and it's in a book, right? But a lot of the times the science and the books aren't based on much of anything. It's just that somebody did a cursory study and they put it in the book, and that becomes what everybody goes to say that this is scientific, right? So when you talk about homosexuality being considered a psychological malady up until 1973, some of those same books were also talking about black people being intellectually inferior to white people also. Would you agree with that?
Yes, there were statements that black to whites as far as intellectual wise at that particular time, but those have also changed. But there have been studies, there have been things to prove that that is not the case. There hasn't been anything concrete to prove that being gay is something that you're born with. You know, if there was some study or something that was done that actually 100% said, hey, people are born gay, there's a gay gene, this gene right here makes people gay, then that would be something that, you know, we would be able to go with. But there's nothing there. In which case, at that particular time, it becomes a battle of belief.
Okay.
It becomes a belief that gays are born that way. Some people don't.
Now, see, the point that I was making was the science. A lot of times folks will point to that science as this is the undisputable proof, when actually there really isn't anything undisputed about it. Right. It's just a way to shut down the conversation. So when I ask a question like, do you believe whether or not black folks are mentally inferior to whites, you would say no. But that same book told you that black folks were intellectually inferior to white folks. That same book is also telling you that homosexuality was a mental malady, right? So you don't believe one part of it. So you don't believe one part of it. And I'm not saying just you per se, but folks will say, well, I believe this part, but I don't believe this part because this part kind of fucks with me and my shit, right? So that's what I was getting at when we start talking about homosexuality is a mental malady, and whether or not that's even a valid thing, right? Oh, especially when we talk about whether or not folks are born gay and everything else. One of the reasons that I've said this on the show before as to why I don't believe that homosexuals are that they choose that, right? When we think about how we are brought up in society as a whole, especially in the time that me and you came up, right? Since we go way back, right? We go back to elementary school. in the time that we came up, it was not socially acceptable to be a homosexual. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So in the time that we came up, it was not socially acceptable to be a homosexual. You had to stay in the closet. If you were found out to be gay, you were bullied. You were probably getting your ass whooped at school. Folks were making fun of you. Right?
True.
That was happening. So we lived in a time where it was not socially acceptable to be gay. It was very socially acceptable to fuck with gay folks, though. It was very socially acceptable to whoop their ass. It was very socially acceptable to talk shit about them. It was very socially acceptable for them to pretty much keep whatever it is that was going on with them, who they are as human beings. It was okay to discriminate against them. There was a last socially accepted discrimination that we had, really, that even black folks can participate in it. Like, even black folks are like, yeah, man, let's fuck with this dude over here. He probably take it in the booty or something. And even to this day, like, even now, we still have a lot of that attitude where, like, folks still feel like they can fuck with gay people and get away with it. So knowing that we came up in an era where it was not socially acceptable to be gay, where they could be bullied, where they could possibly be disowned from their families, where they were getting beat up all the time, where folks were always making fun of them, why would anybody choose to live a life like that?
I presume for the simple fact that it's something that they want to do. I mean, that's what you want to do. That's like saying, why would you murder someone knowing that you're going to go to jail? Why would you be a pedophile if you know you're going to go to jail? Why would you do anything wrong knowing that there are consequences based upon that decision that you make? I mean, at that particular time, once again, it becomes a personal belief. I mean, if this is something that they feel strongly enough about, then they'll do it no matter what the case is. But it makes it easier, though, that even though in our time, no, it wasn't socially acceptable to be gay. But as of right now, you're praised as a hero for coming out to be gay. You know, Neil Patrick Harris, Ellen DeGeneres. We have openly gay CEOs. We have openly gay fashion designers. We have congressmen. We have people in Congress, celebrities, CEOs, financial gurus, sports stars, Hollywood moguls, you know, college professors. I mean, they're openly gay and they're celebrated. Mm-hmm. Back in the 1960s, we didn't have anything like that. I mean, we didn't have anyone in those positions. We didn't have that, you know, they have that. In which case, that's one of the differences between the civil rights movement in the 1960s versus now. I mean, like, you've got companies that support them, you know, Burger King had the rainbow color Whopper. You had other companies that came out and they pushed, you know, they pushed for this would be accepted. We didn't have that in 1960. There weren't companies coming out saying, you know what, leave blacks alone, blacks are great, hey, your best friend could be black. You know, there was nothing at that particular time. We did this ourselves. It's not like the parades that we had, we got hosed down, you know, fire hoses, dogs, from the people that were supposed to protect us, the police, you know, versus now they can have a pride and they have the protection of the police, whether the police like it or not. I mean, there are just huge differences between then and now. And to me, once again, to compare them as to say, if you can understand one, you can understand the other, once again, does both an injustice, because they're two totally separate things. I mean, each has their similarity, which I once again heartily agree with that. But I believe that the differences are so vast that you can't compare them as, if you understand one, you can understand the other, because one is innate and immutable. You know, your skin color, I mean, that's it. Your skin color is your skin color. Your sexual orientation is not, you know. There is no way of knowing, once again, that you are born gay. I mean, if you're black, you're black, man. That's pretty much it. You know, you're done for life. For life, you're black.
Let me ask you something.
And we didn't have.
Let me ask you something, because you talked about, you know, you kind of compared being gay to whether or not like killers are celebrated and pedophiles are celebrated and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. How many people do you know being how many people do you know consent to being killed?
I mean, I don't know anyone personally.
Right. We don't know anybody that consents to being killed. How many people do you know, or how many children do you know can consent to being involved with an adult?
That's a morality clause.
No. Same thing about even legally.
That's here in the U.S.
We're not talking about other countries right now, bro. We're talking about right here in the U.S. Okay. How many kids can legally consent to being with somebody who's an adult?
None.
So right now we're talking about, you know, you were kind of comparing murderers and pedophiles to two consenting adults getting together and saying, hey, I want to be with this person for the rest of my life, and I want my marriage recognized the same way that anybody else's marriage is recognized. Here's the thing, man, and this is why I think a lot of people get it screwed up, is that for them, this is all about equal protection under the law, right? If you go to your county clerk and you want to get married to your woman or whatever, nobody questions that. They give you a marriage license. You go about your merry way. You go to your church or wherever it is that you go to and you get married. Nobody questions it. You go and send your paperwork into the job. They put your woman on your health insurance and everything. Everything is cool, right? That's all homosexuals are asking for, is the same ability to be able to say, hey, this is the person that I want to share my life with. If I want to bequeath anything to them upon my death, this is what should happen. They should have power of attorney. They should be able to do this. They should be able to do that. That's all they're asking. So when we talk about, not even just so much like, you know, whether or not you're born gay and all of this other stuff, at the end of the day, what this decision was about was equal protection under the law for all of its citizens. Now, I think sometimes we forget, and I bring this up again, that not only are there, you know, black people who are also gay, but there, of course, there are white folks and Hispanic folks and Asian folks who are gay. The thing, all they're asking for is equal protections under the law. So take, for instance, in Michigan, right? We live in a state right now where, and we live in one of 29 states where it's legal for someone to fire you because you're gay. 29 states in the union allow for people to be fired from their job simply because they're gay. Not whether or not they're performing the job the way that they're supposed to be performing the job, not because they don't have the abilities that everyone else has, but if they're found out to be gay, they can lose their job. We also know that in the 1960s that folks were passing. There were certain jobs that weren't available to people because if you were found out to be black, you were let go. My great-grandmother passed for white. She had to pass for white in order to work. They weren't allowing her to work because she was black. She was a black woman. Actually, my grandmother was mixed. Her father was white. Her mother was black, but she passed for white. We know that companies have the ability to fire someone because of their sexual orientation the same way that companies had the ability to deny people work because if they weren't white, they couldn't work. So it's one of those parallels again to where we have the, it's just one of those parallels, bro. It's one of those parallels again to where, like, if you can understand where they're coming from as far as like, okay, I can't work if anybody finds out I'm gay. I can't work if anybody finds out that I'm black. It's, again, one of those parallels that pops up that folks typically don't necessarily think about when they're thinking about this issue.
right, with that, I guess I need to rewind just a little bit. Okay. You said that they were pretty much looking for the same, pretty much rights that anyone else has, once again, to marry whoever it is that they want to marry, so forth and so on. The two principal elements for marriage is that it be a man and a woman. You know, there was a time in which case where blacks couldn't marry whites couldn't marry blacks, so forth and so on. But when that law was removed, or a new law was passed, it didn't redefine marriage. You know, now marriage isn't defined as being defined as two people, two consenting adults. In which case, if that's the case, if you're able to redefine marriage in that way, then I'm not saying that it actually will happen, but it would, to me, it would be only fair if it can be redefined for others also. Meaning as if a family member wanted to marry, if someone who is older wanted to marry someone who was so polygamy, if someone wants to marry, have more than one wife at this particular time. There's actually the guy from this who's on, I guess, the Sister Wives show. Mm-hmm. He actually wants to make his marriage to a second wife binding. He wants her to be considered a second wife. And he pretty much capitalized on the LGBT. He stated that, hey, you all allow for them to be able to redefine marriage. Why can't I? Mm-hmm. You know, I should be able to marry whoever I want. Marriage should, since it is no longer one man, one woman, it's two people. Well, why not be able to be three people, four people, six people, seven people?
Okay.
It's, well, pretty.
I'm sorry, bro. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the only thing that at this particular time is, I guess, stopping anything from happening, it's because it's not the flavor of the month. Mm. You know, it's not what's popular right now. It's not what is being focused on right now. Once again, you said that, you know, a child can't consent to having sex with an adult, which in this case, you're correct. But it's not because it's something that kids can still have a child with. It's a morality clause. You know, it's morale. It's pretty much saying that, hey, that's not right. You having sex with 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 is not right because they're not an adult here in the U.S. You know? So you're wrong. You're wrong because you did that. And to us, they're not an adult. At the same time, there was once a thing where, hey, you can't marry another man because that's not right. And since that's not right, you can't do it. In which case, at this particular time, they redefined, hey, you know what? We can't do it because of the morality clause. Or in which case, it can be redefined again, and it can be redefined again, and it can be redefined again until there's, I mean, everyone can do whatever it is they want to do. I mean, if it's just a case of morality.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something. Well, I'll just put it like this. I kind of put it like this. When we talk about marriage in the sense of what is defined as, right? When we talk about a marriage is defined as a man and a woman, the marriage definition, when it comes to things like that, typically come from a religious base, right? We live in a country where your religion doesn't dictate what this government does, right? So if you come into, if you're coming into this argument with, well, in my religion, a marriage is defined as a man and a woman. And I know a lot of folks and a lot of laws have been passed across the country as far, and they've been put up for votes, where a lot of laws have been passed where they talk about a marriage is defined as a man and a woman. We had the Defense of Marriage Act passed years ago, where we tried to define what a marriage is, and then we try to make sure that we define it as a man and a woman. Those are religious rites. That's how certain religions look at a marriage. When it comes to whether or not your government looks at a marriage in the exact same way, is something totally different, right? It's something totally different. Your government is looking at this as a business transaction. Not so much about your religion. They don't have any hangups about whether or not you subscribe to a certain religion. Your government is looking at this as a business transaction. Are you going to be tying any... is your money going to be tied together? Your checking account's going to be joint. Are you going to be filing your income taxes together? You know what I mean? Like, your government is looking at this like as a business transaction. Whether or not you do it as a Sikh, whether or not you do it as a Christian, whether or not you do it as a Muslim, whether or not you do it as a Hindu, the government has no issue at all, or shouldn't have an issue at all, as to what your religious affiliation is. And so for a lot of folks who try to project their religious interpretation of what marriage is onto what the government is supposed to interpret what the marriage is for governmental purposes is where folks get it messed up. Because at the end of the day, we do have a separation between the church and the state. We can't necessarily walk around saying that, like, hey, I'll put it like this. People do walk around and say, hey, as a Christian, I don't believe this. I don't believe X, Y, and Z should happen. But at the end of the day, your government isn't Christian. Your government is agnostic. Your government has no religious affiliation whatsoever. So for folks to walk around thinking that their government is supposed to rubber stamp their religious affiliation and their religious ideology is where folks get it fucked up.
Okay, well, I wasn't coming from a religious place.
No, not saying you, just that's where a lot of it comes from.
Okay, well, Webster's Dictionary, marriage. Any of the diverse forms of interpersonal union established in various parts of the world to form a familial bond that is recognized legally, religiously, or socially, granting to participating partners mutual conjugal rights and responsibilities, including, for example, opposite sex marriage, and as it's been, same sex marriage, plural marriages, and arranged marriages. That's the definition of marriage right now as it stands. But we don't allow for plural marriages because of morality and also because of religion. We don't allow for minors to marry because pretty much religion. I mean, they're morality. These things are also stopped based upon the same thing. So it goes to what you're saying. You can't say, well, we can do one, but we can't do the others. Well, okay, we can do two consenting adults. Because you know what? You're right. It's not a religious thing. But you use that same religious clause to stop minors from marrying adults or polygamy, when the definition of marriage itself includes opposite sex marriage, same sex marriage, plural marriage, and arranged marriage. It doesn't specify if they have to be a certain age to get married. It doesn't have to specify if they have to be a certain height. It doesn't specify anything outside of the fact that,
hey bro, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Would you allow your 3-year-old son to get married right now? Is your 3-year-old son capable of being married right now?
No. Exactly. My belief is no.
Exactly.
But a 16-year-old. But even a 16-year-old is. A 16-year-old can be emancipated.
A 16-year-old can be emancipated. Do you think that you were ready for marriage at 16 years old?
No. I honestly don't believe I was. But maybe there are some people that may be. I'm not them. Mm. We're not them.
We aren't. Who are we to judge? We aren't. But the point that I'm making is there's a reason. There is reasoning outside of religion, affiliation, or anything else that children aren't allowed to enter into a contract. You aren't even allowed to sign a contract until you're 18 years old. Your parents have to sign that over for you. Right? Mm-hmm. So there are reasons as to why a child isn't allowed to do certain things. There's also a reason why we have child labor laws now, because children were being abused and worked to death because of the fact that they were children. They had no say in anything. Folks were just making them do what they wanted because they were children. So okay, these laws are put into place to protect these children from abuse, whether that be an arranged marriage, whether that be from putting these kids in a position to where they have to work a certain amount of hours. Your kids aren't allowed to work, all hours of the night. Like, there are reasons that there are laws in place to keep children from being abused. And one of the reasons that children aren't allowed to be married at certain ages, and I think it varies from state to state, but one of the reasons that they aren't allowed is for the protection of the child. When it comes to same-sex marriage, these are two consenting adults entering into a contract with each other. Two consenting adults. And at the end of the day, neither one of these adults' decision it doesn't affect anyone outside of that. Like, for me and you, I don't see how a homosexual couple being married affects our day to day. I don't see how that affects our day to day. I wonder how you feel a homosexual marriage affects you on a day to day basis.
Well, to me, it doesn't affect. I guess my question to you would be one question twofold. Do you agree that my question is this. One question twofold.
Okay.
Do you believe that people should be able to marry more than one person? And number two, do you believe that people should be able to marry their relatives?
Okay.
As long as they're consenting adults.
Okay, here's my answer to that question. Do I believe that people should be able to marry more than one person? If they're all consenting adults, then yes, they should be able to marry more than one person, especially if they're able to sustain themselves, right? I have no problem with that whatsoever. So long as they're able to sustain themselves, then fine. Do what you want. You're an adult, correct? What was the second part of your question?
Do you believe relatives? So say a mother and son, a father and son, a mother and daughter, as long as they're of the age of consent, do you believe they should be able to marry each other?
Okay. Now, to that second point, no. And the reason why is because of the genetic diseases and the genetic the way that we are made up familially. If they were to have any sort of offspring, their offspring are going to be suffering from all sorts of maladies that they wouldn't necessarily deal with if they weren't dealing with someone who was of their immediate ancestry. So me having, like, say, for instance, if I was to run up on one of my sisters and say, hey, let's get married and have kids and everything else. Not only is that one creepy, but two, that's also it's not a healthy thing physically to participate in.
Okay. But what if they don't want to have kids then?
What if they don't want to have kids?
If she gets her two side, he gets his two.
I'm sorry, you broke her, brother.
Okay. So what if they don't want to have kids? What if she gets her tubes tied and he gets snipped and burned, and she gets tied and burned? But there's no chance of them having kids whatsoever.
Then why are they together?
Huh?
Then why are they together?
Because they love each other. Mm. Because they love each other.
They already love each other. They're brother and sister. That's your brother and sister.
Gays can't reproduce either. Gays can't reproduce. The only thing that they can do is one, they can be surrogates. They can go to a sperm bank, or they can baby for them, but they can't have kids on their own together. If it's a case of, since you can't have kids, why be together? It means can't have kids with each other.
That's not what I'm saying. Hold on, because that's not what I'm saying at all. Because I even brought this up to you once before about whether or not, when we talk about whether or not people can have kids or not, because there was another thing that folks were talking about as to whether or not folks should be able to get married and everything else. There are straight couples who aren't brother and sister who can't have kids. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that their marriage is any less valid than anybody else's. So when we talk about whether or not a marriage is about whether or not folks can have kids, is something entirely different than whether or not two consenting adults should be able to get together and be married and have their marriage recognized by the state. As far as whether or not... I'm sorry, go ahead.
If a brother and sister, mother and son, son and father, daughter and mother want to get married and they're adults, why can't they get married? If it's, we'll take the health concerns out, because if they don't want to have kids, then it's, but they can have sex with each other. I mean, it's not like just because they have sex that something's going to happen to the two of them. So why can't they get married?
The question should be, why would they want to get married? Being that that's your mom and your sister and your brother. Like, here's the thing, man. Like, it's funny. It's extremely funny to me that you would talk about, hey, moms and sons, fathers and daughters, sisters and brothers should also be able to get married because two consenting adults want to get married. Like, incest and homosexual or same-sex marriage are two different things. Right, and it's interesting to me that you would try to equate the two, going back into incest and all of these other things, knowing some of the physical maladies that can happen between the two because of such of said relationship. But at the end of the day, homosexuals have just as much right to have equal protection under the law as heterosexual couples have in this country, right? And I don't think that us as human beings, or simply just us, especially us as black folks, just stand in the way of saying, hey, you guys have a right to be together, and I won't stand in the way of that. The same way that I would hate for someone to stand in the way of me being able to go vote, the same way that I would hate for someone to stand in front of me being able to be served at a lunch counter, the same way that I would hate for someone to be able to say that I have to drink at a separate water fountain because of who I am. You aren't incestuous, right? Who you like you could be a, like, and this is some weird shit. Right, this is some weird shit that you're drinking me to. But like, if for whatever reason somebody is attracted to their mom, you could also be attracted to somebody else, right? You don't have to be necessarily like, hey, you know, I'm only gonna have sex with my mom. You can be attracted to somebody else. You're still attracted to women or whomever. You don't have to be locked in that certain set, in that specific set of circumstances. But
the reason I honestly, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was done.
Okay. The reason I bring it up is because there are people out there like that. I mean, that's just the way of the world. There are people out there that if they could, they would marry their mother. They would marry their father. They would marry their sister. They would marry their brother. They would marry whoever they feel that they love. And in which case, if this is a case of love wins, and it's a case of pretty much just two consenting adults getting married, then it should be a case where everything flies. It should be a case where you can use your comparison of the civil rights struggle to the homosexual struggle or the LGBT struggle. And you should be able to compare the LGBT struggle to the incest. Look, if you can understand how two men, because some people can't fathom how two men could want to sleep together. Some people can't fathom how two women could want to sleep together. You know, like, I can't fathom why a mother or son would want to do this, but there are people who would understand this. You know, so it's to say, if you want to correlate struggles, that's what I'm saying. If you compare struggles then it takes away, it does a disservice to each individual struggle. So when you compare, you can compare blacks to gays, and you can compare gays to incest, you can compare incest to polygamy, you can compare polygamy, pedophilia, you know, you can draw a comparison to every last one, because it's individuals' beliefs. It breaks down once again to beliefs.
No, and this is where we flat out disagree. This is where we flat out disagree, because again, we're talking about whether or not there should be equal protection of everyone under the law, right? Mm-hmm. You have familial relationships already when you talk about incest. You don't have familial relationships already when you talk about a homosexual relationship. And I think to a large degree, you kind of basically denigrate homosexuals as to like them just being a part of another perversion, so to speak. Like we look at incest as a specific nasty sort of perversion, right? And you kind of denigrate homosexuality to that specific subset of perversions. But when we talk about equal protections under the law, which is what I think the Supreme Court's decision was about, when we talk about comparing struggles or whatever, when we talk about those comparisons, what we're talking about is we fought for a specific set of rights. We fought for the right to vote. We fought for the right to be seen as citizens of the United States. We fought for the right to be served in certain spaces. We fought for the right to have our voices heard in certain spaces. The same sort of things are happening with the LGBTQ community. And what I said before, and I will continue to say, is that drawing comparisons doesn't denigrate either one of the struggles, right? It just tries to bring folks to a certain level of understanding amongst each other. So when I talk about the fact that there are certain businesses in America who would like to discriminate against gay people, whether or not they're able to pay for the services or not, whether or not they're able to whether or not they're able to pay for the certain services, and whether or not they coincide with someone's religious beliefs is wrong, right? And we talked about in the 1960s where it was illegal in a lot of places for black and white couples, interracial couples, to marry. That was also legitimized by the Bible. That was also legitimized by the state to say that interracial couples were something that we can't allow to happen. Right. So,
right.
When we go back into all of the, when we go back into all of the objections to interracial couples, and we see that all of the things that happen with that, we talk about, a lot of times folks are like, well, what am I supposed to tell my kids? You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I supposed to tell my kids? Like, I got to live around these niggas. I gotta let my woman is our white women are marrying these black men. What are we supposed to, protect this white woman's sanctity and all of this other stuff? We start going into all of these wild out stories and theories about what's going to happen if we allow this to happen, right? If we allow these black men and these white women to get married, or these white men and these black women to get married, America's going to be in its darkest hour. We're going to be fucked up. And the same sort of shit is happening when it comes to these homosexuals. When it comes to homosexuals deciding that they want to be together and they want to be married and they want their marriage recognized, the same thing is happening. It's like history repeating itself and folks don't see the correlation. And that's where I think we get messed up. We get messed up and the comparisons do apply.
I guess my only retort to that is this. They can eat wherever they want to eat. They are protected. You know, they have the protections that we didn't have in the 1960s. I guess that's my biggest issue. the rights that we didn't have in the 1960s are the rights that they have now. You can't legally say, I will not serve you. If you say, I will not serve you, then they, once again, they can have legal recourse against you because you have to serve them. When in the case of the baker, I understand money that had exchanged. He was talking about the cake and asking them about, you know, where was the wedding at, so forth and so on. And when it came out to the point that they wanted two grooms on the cake, he said, I couldn't do it. In which case, you know, he turned them away. They turned around and they sued him. You know, you cannot legally discriminate against them. But you back in 1960s, you could legally discriminate against us without any repercussions. We couldn't sue you for not letting us drink out the white water fountain. Sue you for not letting us on the front of the bus. You know, we couldn't do anything at all.
Well, here's the thing though, bro. Is that shit is happening. That shit is happening all the time. We just talked about the pizzeria that said, hey, we're not going to serve you if you're gay. We just talked about the mechanic in Michigan who said, I'm not going to serve you if you're gay. Yeah, they could possibly sue, but then they also have laws that are being passed in Indiana, so to speak, and then I think they also have a similar law in Wisconsin where they talk about the religious freedom restoration. Everybody is all of a sudden they're going back into the, well, this is my religious belief and I don't have to do this because of my religious beliefs. So this shit is happening. It's happening to this day where they can say, hey, I don't have to serve you because my religion says I don't have to. And then my government is rubber stamping it in my state to say, hey, I don't have to serve you. So this shit is happening. It's happening to this very day, bro. It's happening all the time.
I understand your point. But these are new laws that are being passed, and these new laws will also be fought.
These new laws are also allowing discrimination.
Correct. I agree. But in the 1960s, these were actually the laws of the land. These weren't new laws that were put into place to stop us. These were laws that were already there. You know, once again, that's, to me, those are the biggest differences. Those laws were already in
place. Even with that, bro, I would disagree, only because we had other laws that were implemented to keep black folks marginalized and put in second-class citizenship. Where we think about poll taxes that were put in place to keep black people from voting, where it said if your grandfather wasn't able to vote, then your ass wasn't able to vote. If you couldn't spend X amount of dollars, you couldn't vote. If you couldn't pass a literacy test, then you couldn't vote. Those were all laws that were new at the time to keep black people from being able to vote, even after we were given the right to vote. Like, these were things that are happening at that particular moment in time. They were new, man. These things weren't just they're old to us because we weren't living at that particular point in time. But at that particular moment in time, you had poll taxes, you had literacy tests that are being put in place to keep people from voting, and that was new at the time in order to keep folks disenfranchised. Those were new at the time that they were implemented. They weren't always instituted in that way. So again, there's so many different similarities. There's so many similarities to what was happening between the 1960s civil rights movement and the LGBTQ community that I think we do a disservice not only in not acknowledging that there are similarities, but also not taking advantage of the fact that there are similarities and trying to figure out how to bridge the two to get to a point where we can all move forward in a space where all people are treated exactly the same way, equal protection under the law for all people. I think we do a disservice not to take advantage of that opportunity, man.
I think that's where we have to agree to disagree. Now, I do want to kind of take it back, though. I don't want anyone to get the idea that I believe that being gay is, and I compare it to polygamy and I don't want them to think that, you know, I'm doing that just to say that being gay is just nasty or wrong. The only reason I did the correlation is because they have similarities. And the biggest dilemma for each of them is morality and religion. That's the biggest obstacle for each and every one of them is religion and morality.
Okay.
If you take the family portion out and you just say marriage is between consenting adults, then you are able to pretty much do whatever you want. Sky's the limits at the time as far as getting married.
Okay.
Some people won't like that. Some people will love it. I like I said, I don't want people to think that it's perverse and I'm comparing it to things that are perverse. Because you know how some people do. They listen to what you say, but they don't hear what you're saying.
Well, I'll put it like this before we close, bro. I think to a large extent, especially for those who are Christians or those who are going on their religious convictions, I think for a large extent of them, they feel persecuted because folks are shouting them down when it comes to when they're talking against or same-sex marriage and what have you. But at the same time, they don't see the years and years and years of persecution, not only rhetorical persecution, but also where folks were being killed, murdered, bullied, and everything else behind being LGBTQ, right? And so for a lot of folks who are objecting to this because of their religious beliefs, they feel persecuted. But what they're feeling at this particular moment in time, as far as their persecution complex is concerned, is nothing compared to what the LGBTQ community has been going through over the years, man. It's nothing to be it's really nothing compared to it. It's nothing compared to it. But I do appreciate you, bro, coming on and speaking what you feel. And like I said here at the Spirit Report, man, I want everybody's voice to be heard, man, even if I disagree. So I do appreciate you coming on, brother. Real talk.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Indeed, man. Indeed. And that's going to be the show, man. That's going to be the show. We kind of ran a little long tonight. But before I get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to hit me up. Oh, shit. I almost forgot. I'm glad. I almost forgot. We got some listener feedback. Let me pull this up real quick. I got some listener feedback to respond to. I almost got out of here without doing this. My bad, brother. Because I know I... Hold on just a second. Let me pull this up. All right. And I got another email from my boy, Taiwan. And Taiwan writes in to say, once again, you my nigga. Love the show, and I appreciate that we can constructively have this conversation. As I've stated previously, I'm mixed. I was raised in Cedar Rapids, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I was born in Aurora, Illinois, and I spent plenty of time there with my black family, just to give you a little of my background. Currently, I live in the suburbs of Minneapolis. That being said, I was raised in Iowa, predominantly white area. I have had white people tell me, you're not a nigger, you're a black man. While living in predominantly black areas, being called a white boy because I can form a sentence. I have experienced hatred all across the board. This woman, Rachel Dolezal, no matter how stupid or underhanded as it is, she was working for the cause. Plus, she is married to a black man and has black children, so she has had some black in her at some point. I have chosen to breed with a black woman in order to have black kids. My brother married a white girl and his kids could pass for white, but they are not. Does that make my kids black, his kids white? where my kid is 3/4 black and his one quarter. The point I wanted to send with the last email was either I accept you or I don't. Your family or you're not. Your family or you're not. I love you or I don't. Point is, like I said, either I accept you or I don't. Judging from here, I accept her. And in opinion, good for Rachel Dolezal, good for you. Welcome to the family. Okay. That was kind of hard to read, Taiwan. But here's the thing, man. And I think I've said this on the last episode. And I think I said this even on the No Nonsense show the last time I called into their show. The reason that Rachel Dolezal gets the shit in of her appropriation of black culture is because, one, we know she ain't black at any point. Whether or not she had a black husband or not, that woman is not black, right? And I think it does a disservice to all black women to just say, hey, she's done more black, or she's done the work. No, she hasn't done the work. Everything that Rachel Dolezal has done has been to the benefit of Rachel Dolezal. It wasn't to the benefit of you or I. It wasn't to the benefit of you or I. And to be quite honest with you, and I said this on the Black Guy Who Tips, I said this on the No Nonsense show, and I said this on my show, it's way too many brothers giving this woman a pass on what it is she did, while at the same time denigrating the work that white that black women have done for the cause, man. I want you to write into me and tell me what the work that she did, the work that she did that actually benefited black folks. You're welcome to write in. You're welcome to call in. You're welcome to any way you want to do it. You're welcome to write in, call in, or whatever, to tell me what work that she, that Rachel Dolezal did that actually benefited black folks and didn't benefit her. Because every time someone mentions the work that Rachel Dolezal did, they can't ever give me any fucking examples. So I want you to give me an example of the work that Rachel Dolezal did that benefited black folks, man. And I appreciate you writing in, Taiwan. I really do, brother. But we gonna have to agree to disagree on this one, man. We gonna have to agree to disagree with this one. But I do appreciate you writing in, brother. And I hope to hear from you again, man. Real talk. But again, before I get out of here, I gotta let you guys know, just like Taiwan, how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up on the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I will play those on the show. And, of course, I will reply to those messages on the show as well. You can also hit me up with the email. My email, of course, is feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. I will read those just like I did Taiwan's and reply to those emails in kind. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name, of course, on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So you can hit me up there, chop it up with your man throughout the week. Leave me an iTunes and Stitcher review, man. iTunes and Stitcher review. Hopefully they 5 stars, man. Let me know what you thought, guys, are thinking about the show. And let everybody know what you think, thinking about the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And, of course, you can hit me up on the website, man. Go to the website. TheSpanReport.com, www.thespanreport.com. Get all of the Span Report podcast episodes. Everything associated with the Span Report is right there at thespanreport.com. So, yeah, man, it's been real. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.